Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Have you been seriously injured? Mama Justice is here for you. Our medical team partners with top-notch doctors, surgeons, therapists, and urologists, ensuring a comprehensive recovery journey. If you've been injured, call Mama Justice today. We're here for you.
Hello? Anybody home?
Dude, you gotta hear this.
What?
What is it?
This true force has never been fully understood.
Say, what is this?
It boils down to two simple words.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
New England clam sugar.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, let's keep rocking and rolling.
Wonderful. Couldn't have said it better myself.
It's rock and roll, brother, and we're rocking tonight.
Let me hear it.
Good morning on a beautiful Saturday morning handyman show right here. Rock and roll handyman show. My name is Buddy Slowick, the rock and roll handyman. Going to be here until 12 o'clock making all sorts of noise on the radio about making your house just a better place to be. There's just no feeling like when you're done with whatever you're doing, just going home. Home feels so good. And it's supposed to feel so good. And the more you take care of it, the more it's going to give that feeling to you. And that's important. That's important. Boy, there's some handyman wisdom. Okay, that's all I have to say about today. That's worth anything. The rest is just going to be useless information coming your way. And talking about useless information, we've got a great guest coming up at 11:30. At 10:30, second segment. I usually book a guest in about that time. And this morning, this week, strangely enough, as I was calling people to invite them on to be a guest, I'm finding things like all of my vendors are, one's in Vegas at a show, one's fly fishing in Arkansas, one's hunting. They're just all over the place. There's nobody in town. So the owners of these businesses are not available today. But I finally found a guest full of information. He's going to join us at second segment. And name is Lance Talbert. And
I'll do my best to have as much useless information
useless,
as humanly possible.
It's very important. That's what this show is all about.
Useless. That's what I thrive upon.
Yes, useless information.
Yeah. I'm in. Count me in. Mark me down.
There you go. Yes, you're it. You be it. All right. I usually grab hold of this week and do a lot better every year than I did this year, and I fell down a little bit. And I'm talking about what is considered Fire Safety Week. And this is the last day of Fire Safety Week. It's going through October 6th through October 12th. But Fire Safety Week has so much to do with when you talk about just the people who work for a fire or emergency response department. Those people are just, they're like superhuman. They need to be honored because it seems like, yeah, they don't do a lot all day long, and then they're called on to instantly perform and perform better than 100%, and they do. But this week is all about fire safety or fire prevention. Really, it's Fire Prevention Week. I'm sorry, I didn't say that right. It's Fire Prevention Week, and fire prevention, it kind of, you know, you need to do some thinking about fire and your home. And the first place you need to look is like if you're going to use the fireplace at all this winter. And Lance and I have talked about this before. There's a couple things you need to get done. One, when is the last time you had a chimney sweep through your house, come to your home and actually clean that chimney out? That's important because a buildup of soot and creosote and, even some sticks can get stuck up in there. And they will create a chimney fire if that fireplace is not kept clean or the chimney itself is not kept clean. That's the first thing you need to do is get hold of a good chimney sweep. And there's two or three around that really do a great job. And I'd recommend that you get in touch with them and talk to them. The second thing that's important in Fire Safety Week, I think, is making sure your dampers are open. Dampers are inside your fireplace, and you have to actually stick your head in the fireplace and look up. And when you look
up, you get a little soot on your nose if you got a schnoz like I have.
Yeah, you begin to look like Santa Claus after a while. Look up, and you'll see this rusty metal thing that actually has a little handle on it that closes and shuts. Well, in the summertime, it's meant to be shut to keep the hot air from coming into our home and just, you know, in the wintertime when you're using the fireplace, you need to open that damper so that the chimney can draw the soot and smoke out, and it will. That's what a damper is all about. But that's important to do. Other things that are particularly important is your smoke and carbon dioxide detectors. They need to be tested once a month, every month. And if they're 10 years old or so, they might need to be changed. Or if they fail a test when you go to try them, don't try to figure out why they fail. Just go buy a new one. They're not that expensive, and they can make a big difference in your life and in your life's family, and they really can. I think that fire alarms and smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors are very, very important. And on top of that, you need to use like a how do you use a fire extinguisher the proper way? You might need to get some thoughts on that. I'm sure if you look on the internet, you'll find out a way to go about doing that and get the information that you need. But Fire Prevention Week, usually what I have on is a fire chief or somebody in the fire department to talk about what Fire Prevention Week is all about. And somehow I didn't do that this year. Maybe I'm just getting older.
Well, and there'll be plenty of opportunities because we'll have, and to me, I know it's the week of and the month of.
Yes.
But as we creep into the cooler months, it had to be four or five house fires last year. Attic started house fires.
Right.
And I followed several, not like, you know, speeding, but I followed several ambulances and fire trucks because you could see the smoke in the distance.
Yeah, sure.
And I followed them to kind of watch. It was something, you know, learning from this job as well. And every one of them was an attic fire.
Wow.
Everyone.
Wow.
And now the fire, you know, firemen and those first responders did amazing jobs. I didn't see any of them burn down.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you right now, yeah, be careful. Everything you need to be checklisting now, your AC, HVAC, servicing. Get your servicing there. Your carbon monoxide detectors.
Yeah.
Your natural gas. All these things. This is the time where you need to make double sure because you're about to start using these things more. And they've been sitting around. It's hot, dry.
Right.
And it gets damp. And
another thing that's very important is make sure your lint is not built up in your dryer vent.
Yes.
That's so important because that can create a fire as well. And then you need to know if you have alternate heat of any kind, because it can be relatively dangerous not used properly. And don't use anything but a heater for an alternate heat. Don't use stoves or just whatever may be around to heat your home up. Mm-mm, that's no way to do it. It's important to use these, what they call heaters, properly and to use them in the newest ones that are available today because they have oxygen detectors on them. They have all sorts of things on them. And if they happen to tip over, they shut off. They have an automatic shut off on them. So the newer ones are a lot better. If you have an older one, I don't know. Just be careful. Just be careful. But I don't know. If you had an old one, it's really a good idea that you should get together, maybe get your family together, get anybody together, and buy a new one and have a new one put in there if you are in the position of using alternate heat. And that's just the way to handle that. And then use it carefully and be careful with it. So Fire Prevention Week, very important. Let's honor those firemen and all the first responders. They do a wonderful job, man, and we're proud of them all. Fire Prevention Week. All right. Hey, let me tell you a little about Rebel Ace Hardware, one of the better hardware stores around. Rebel Ace Hardware is a great, great store, and They do all sorts of, they've got all the hardware you'll ever need. Plus, they have their outdoor power equipment center next to their store in Pearl. But all over Central Mississippi, you will find Revel Ace Hardware. They are all over the place and do a great job. You go see my friends at Revel Ace Hardware, and they will take care of whatever your needs are. They're open today as well. A lot of them are open from 7 till 6, and sometimes on Saturdays they do a little extra and stay open a little bit later. Revel Ace Hardware. Go see them. Tell them you heard about them right here on the Rock and Roll Handyman Show. And we appreciate it very much. Revel Ace Hardware, great, great, great stores. They really are. And service is what they care about more than anything. Well, we're talking to you from the Build Mississippi studio, and Build Mississippi is an organization that has been around for years. They started out as the Mississippi Construction Education Foundation and now are called Build Mississippi, but the same organization. They do a great job, and they want to get the word out to all the people of Mississippi that the future can be yours. You can really succeed and grow in the future like you want to do in your life. Maybe you're just sitting around going, what should I do with myself? What should I do with myself? Well, find out what your talent is and move in that direction. You may find your talent in places where you didn't even know it existed, because everybody is gifted with some sort of talent, and some of it is pretty well hidden. A lot of people don't recognize that they have this ability to do this certain thing. Well, that's part of what Build Mississippi is all about, bringing out the best in people and teaching them how to work with their hands and with their mind and get to a point where all of a sudden the amount of money they're making in their income, that can be a big deal after a while. It really can. Once you start having family and start having children, it can be very expensive. But if you have a great background by involving yourself with somebody like Build Mississippi and get the training that's necessary to get into a profession where you can make a handsome living, a living that will support a family, and you'll just be so happy you did. Build Mississippi is a great organization. We'll have Brent Bean, who is the president of Build Mississippi, on here sometime soon. They're so busy. But we'll get him at any rate. All right. But that's Build Mississippi, great organization. I was talking a little earlier about Revel Ace Hardware. I have a thing I want to talk about a little bit about sharpened blades of any kind. I mean axes or chainsaws or knives or scissors or just name it. Well, Revel had a service where they used to do all this type thing at all their stores, and now they've changed that service to their outdoor power equipment center. But if you take your chainsaw blade over there, they will take that chainsaw blade and sharpen it. They'll take any tool that you have and sharpen it and do a fantastic job, whether it be outdoor power equipment or anything at all. They can fix it. They can fix it just right. And I really believe that every home should be equipped with a sheetrock knife or what might be called loosely a box cutter that has a razor edge that comes out but is also retractable, where the razor edge is just not showing from time to time and it can be put in your pocket and moved around. But I really do believe that with a sheetrock, what I simply call a sheetrock knife, it'll work quite well and do all more cutting than you can ever even imagine, and really do a good job on doing that. So, you know, and also, what you need to know is any time that your blade is sharp, whether you're cutting vegetables on a cutting board or you're cutting wood or you're cutting anything at all, the sharper the blade, the easier the tool is going to work. And that's just a fact. Don't ever be afraid of blades that are too sharp. My daughter one time said that, oh, I don't know if I'll use that knife. It's just too sharp. And I went, no. You have this wrong, girl. I said, sharp blades are important. Yes, be careful around them. They'll cut you. But they'll also do a much better job working as the tool is meant to be used. You don't have to force it. You don't have to drive it up. Just be careful using it. Sharp tools are great to use, and all of your tools should have that. And I have a putty knife at home that I put actually a razor edge on it on my grinder, and I put it very sharp, and I use it for so many different things. But just one, I have a putty knife right next to it, the same size, that I use just about for everything. But that putty knife with the razor edge really works good in removing stuff. Lance, your red light's on.
I was just going to say that I love a chainsaw. I hate a chainsaw with a dull blade.
Yeah.
There's two opposite emotions that are going on there when you crank it up and you start working on something and you go, man, this blade is going to take all day to do this.
What's going on?
It would cost you $80 to cut through, something that, and gas and oil mix and all that, and then time. But yeah, that's one of my pet peeves is me forgetting to take my blades over to Ace and have them.
Sure.
It doesn't take any time. And if they still may have a special, I think they give you a card, and after so many of them, I think you get a discount.
Probably so.
I have one in my wallet.
But I'm like, if it's using a chainsaw with a dull blade.
Oh, you're looking so forward to getting stuff done. Like President Bush would say, clear and brush. And I'm looking forward to clear and brush on at the farm.
Really?
And then you get out there to clear brush, and you're not clearing anything.
Of course. If you're President Bush, you just hand this chainsaw to your helper and say,
get a
new one.
I enjoyed giving my chainsaw to my helper to clear brush.
Right.
I like actually clearing the brush.
Get me one with a good blade.
That is the biggest letdown.
Yeah.
When you get out there and you're working and that chainsaw is dull.
It doesn't.
I got to go over to Pearl now.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're not busy. Probably they are because they have an amazing lineup of
things. And Saturday's probably one of their busier days.
Well, I've caught them, that's what I'm saying.
Both in their hardware store and their power equipment
store. I've made that mistake before. That's what I'm saying. That's an experience mistake there.
I don't go there much on Saturdays.
Yeah. It's like, hey, can you do my blade today? Yeah, man, we'll have it back to you. Sure. We got about 180 of those things.
All right, this is the Rock and Roll Handyman Show at the Build Mississippi Studios. And I'm talking to you from Super Talk, Mississippi. Going to take a short break and be right back with my guest. Who's it again? I've forgotten his name. Lance Tulver or something like that. I don't know. We'll have him on board. Hey, be back in just a few minutes. Don't go away. Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk. You hear our team working for you.
Great information.
Drilling down and getting to the core of the issues that impact you.
They give you like the information you need to know.
Super Talk, Mississippi.
Open Season Properties has a team approach philosophy that ensures your needs are of the highest priority. Whether it's rural land sales, residential, or commercial properties. Go to OpenSeasonProperties.com to learn more.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish, then there is Superior Catfish.
Texting enrolls you in a recurring.
back to that rock and roll handyman show at the Build Mississippi Studios. This is Buddy Slowick here in Super Talk doing the handyman show. My guest this segment is Lance Tolbert. Lance, you have pretty much a full-time job back there behind the glass and a whole bunch of other little studios here in the Telesouth department. What do you do for your handyman stuff? Anything at all?
What I listen to you. I learn from you, man.
You gotta have some free time.
Well, I don't really at the moment, and that's okay because it's football season. And,
yeah, it is football.
When it's time to get things done like that, you just have a good time.
Yeah,
that's where I'm at right now with handymanning. Is some projects have been put on hold just a little bit, and not indefinitely though. Don't worry not. They will commence eventually.
Would you be able to put the word procrastinate on that, or too busy?
Just a little busy with the schedule. Opportunity to drop about 6 days a week doing what we get to do here, and then I have a couple of other things that I've been fortunate to have been part of the new repertoire. I've had a local law enforcement agency that has allowed me to kind of get in and learn and watch what they're doing and how things work together and the challenges that you see out there on the streets and just learning how hard those guys work, as you were saying about the firemen.
And
you see a lot of police in cars,
but
a lot of times that engagement, you don't get to see that without somebody getting cuffs on them.
Right.
And so I'm learning a little bit more and I'm fascinated with that as well. Corrections and getting an opportunity to, one of my connections with them is giving me the chance to learn more about the work they're doing. And inside out, so to speak. I haven't been able to get that one going yet just because of time constraints.
But, sure.
So, just trying to learn, stay busy, and then the small projects, little things such as making sure things work right now. Putting up things that were used during the summer that probably won't get a lot of use, draining them and winterizing those items and getting ready to hopefully spend a day or two here and there in the woods.
Yeah, yeah.
And making sure the side-by-side is ready to handle two dogs, me and a bunch of guns, and a lot of projects because it'll pick up when I get to camp.
That's the point. Camp is really unique in the fact that you're not there all the time. It's one of
those
places you go and see, but you do have to keep it up, or it'll catch up to you really quickly.
It does. My dad is always taught me well in that regard. Anything you get out in the world without a true civilization, you don't have the bug guy coming by and the yard guys coming by, and you're not getting up on the roof on a regular basis.
It'd be you, huh?
It's you doing it. So, and the conditions can be a little challenging at times. Everything's built up. So, I've learned so much since I was a boy just on how to do basic things and places like that where it's a little harder. And then I commend, all of our members and such. Watching people from 20 to 80 years old. It's everybody has something in common.
One thing about deer camps that's, or any kind of camp that's so kind of amazing is almost everybody there has a talent in the DIY.
Yeah. Again, I've learned so much from the members and friends there and things I don't know.
Right.
And I'm one of those kind of sponge-like people where I feel like if I'm not learning, then I'm just sinking in quicksand. So
what's the sense going on?
Yeah, but I'm very fortunate to have that kind of wealth of knowledge over many years to bank on and to learn from, because the type of projects we get into up there can be a little. Seeing somebody run water line and with a track hoe, and there's no professionals out there. These are guys that know how to do these things because they've been doing it for so long and operating heavy machinery and running water line. I mean, the cost for us, if we would have had to hire somebody for everything up there, it would have been exorbitant. So
one just to get them up there, huh?
Yeah, we have so many talented people that that don't do handyman work for a living, but DIY, you know, it's something you're doing all the time, whether you know, getting rust off of your stairs where the water had come up and, you know, sat there for a month, and you touch it, and now you have absolutely, it looks like you're covered in rust. Everything you bump into is right. You know, so just those little things.
Little things.
How you keep your AC, your HVAC units from bogging down with, you know, the tree frogs and wasp and hornet's nests in there. We've shared that product.
Sure.
And so a lot of those things and things I've learned have been from tinkering around up there and trial and error and really failing miserably at times with things that I wanted to do that go, well, that didn't work, but at least it was here.
At least it was here.
And I have, again, just a wealth of knowledge in people that are like-minded. And
it's great to fail at something because that's a learning experience where the next time you do it, you'll do it correctly.
I make so many mistakes, and I'm fortunate that they're not big ones.
Right.
You know, there's not ones that, like, when you go to jail or something. I think it's ones where
cut your arm off.
You know, I'm careful. I think very much through every project or every type of thing that we're getting into way in advance, especially when you're working and say, you're working on a duck blind out over water and you know that there's snakes and things. And, you know, everything is – I try to do it in a way where I'll go safety first always. If there's not an easy way to do it, then it's a backup plan to go make it safer so that I can do it.
Yeah.
I've taken risks that I think at times you probably don't want to, and you learn again why you don't want to take those risks. So you'll topple over head first into the
don't
swamp.
Don't stand on top of the ladder and start reaching 7 feet over the other direction. You know, don't do that.
But, you know, all those, I think it's one thing I really do love about this show is that you can go from a small project to a big one.
Yeah.
And you cover such a wide berth of things. And, you know, the previous host, guest host with Mark, there's a great example there of a gardening expert, but also they have an amazing handyman project that was the extension of a covered area next to the pool.
Sure.
And so then you got the TV and the bar, and then you got the lights and all these different things that come together to make the garden and the pool and that area much more livable. And now as we get into the winter, and you're going to have the cooler temps, and now you have this little enclave. And so seeing those types of things, I love it. I love it when people open up to me and say, hey, come check this out.
And one thing a lot of people are enjoying, particularly as it gets colder, is a fire pit in the backyard.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. It's like sitting around that thing is just like, oh, wow.
Man, you can go as lowbrow as just getting you some cinder blocks and making a fire pit. That doesn't cost much. Or you can move on up as you go. None of them are bad ideas.
Yeah.
You know, you're outside, you got a fire.
And to me, that'd be enough.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. None of them are bad ideas.
A chair, a good little fire pit that has safety area around it, and I'll sit on the chair and at night be happy.
My favorite thing out in the woods is that you have a nice fire pit, and you love seeing all of the different uses for things up there that weren't actually what they were designed for. And our fire pit is a big drilling can.
Uh-huh.
It's about an inch thick of stainless steel type of metal.
Oh, wow.
Unbendable. Wow. It's so heavy. And that's what they would drill down in the ground with these huge cans. It's what they call a can.
Wow.
And it's enormous. It takes basically two tractors almost to pick it up. So when it floods, it won't float off.
Yeah.
But it was cut by a welding machine in order to, it's about 3 feet. But it is, it's the coolest thing, because it was not used for that. And that thing will never have to have another fire pit. It could go through every flood from here to the end of time, and that thing's going to be there.
Being stainless, it'll last for.
Yeah. I mean, but it's a great, again, how you take one thing and make it something else. And I'll always commend my father for that. He is a genius with saving something and it being sitting there for 5 years, and then he's like, "Well, I know it's over there."
Yeah.
And then you go, "Okay." And it's so I'm not that way though. That's the thing. I'm exactly the opposite.
Well, I used to be that way, and that can and I had a handyman trade where I was actually doing housework and working on people's homes and bringing home everything I thought would be useful. And you know what? After a long time, I finally realized I'm not going to use this stuff ever.
I'm not using any of this
and
stuff.
And if I do want some, I'll go buy a new one. I'm going to get rid of this trash.
My dad, he was always, as a kid, there was a reason to save.
Yeah.
And he's one of those that he'll go and walk you know, when he was able to get his daily walks in, he goes through the neighborhood and he would always find things.
Sure.
You know, people's, you know, I'm like, you don't need that.
You
yeah, but it looks brand new. It's yeah. probably, I mean, yeah, but, you know, but he's one of those types where that you'll see something and he likes trying to make it work again. And
well, in this day and age, people are buying, almost throwaway items,
yeah.
or that's how they think about them anyway.
Well, I mean,
regardless
could, yeah,
of what they buy,
right? Could have a fuse, and that's what you'll find in a lot of.
And they're going to just replace it with
yeah,
a new one
in the plug. You know, a
sure.
lot of times there is a fuse in the plug,
right.
and a lot of folks don't realize that
right.
you got to get a little small type of screwdriver to pry that little thing out. Yeah. And then you got to go to Ace and match it, and then you come back and put it in, and then it works.
It works
miraculously. This thing's working,
and amazingly enough,
it costs 12 cents.
You didn't have to buy a new one.
But that's what happens. A lot of that stuff that you do see, it just has a fuse in the head of the plug that's out. And if you try that first, that's like 12 cents.
So
my dad's one of those where he knows that probably is the problem, and I'm going to get that.
A story with that. My son was walking in his neighborhood one afternoon, and he kept seeing this real expensive lawnmower sitting out in the front of the yard, like near the trash can. But it was like a brand new Honda engine, self-propelled. I mean, real pretty expensive lawnmower. And so he went by, and the next day it was still there. And the third day, and it was still there. He went and knocked on the door and asked the people, what's with that lawnmower out front? It's been there for a bunch of days. They said, oh, we're just getting rid of it. We're tired of it. We've got a service now taking care of our lawns. We don't need it anymore. He said, you mean you're giving it away? And they said, oh, we're hoping somebody will pick it up. Yeah.
Yeah, I got you covered on that.
He took the darn thing home. It's like a brand new lawnmower. I think they've used it maybe three times. Wow, it's a super, super mower. But that's just people don't keep things very long.
Well, I had bought a house in Oxford years ago, and I bought it as a somewhat of a project.
Sure.
That was the whole goal of it, was to spend every second of my life, you know, renovating a home, which it was a great experience. And again, it was a decision. I didn't buy it not knowing what was coming.
Right.
And it was one of those, okay, I want to do this. I'd, you know, done framing and things like that. But in the area that I was wanting to enclose, there was an old jacuzzi. I mean, it was a jacuzzi, you know,
yeah,
like the
yeah,
brand back when that's all you could buy. It wasn't like
right.
whirlpools and all. It was a jacuzzi. And it sat out, and that thing had to be 40 years old probably. It was a late 70s, early 80s item. And I don't think it had run in, I can't tell you how long. I'd pulled the base pieces off and looked, and it was like, yeah, I'm not even going to worry about this. So I literally stood it up on its side. It was fiberglass, and just rolled it out of
right.
the place. Next door neighbor, I ended up rolling this thing up a hill all the way out to the road. It didn't bend, dent, nothing fell out of it. I mean, that's a testament to the quality of the construction, because
sure.
I was basically trying to tear it up to get it out there and throw it away. And I knew that if I got it out to the road, somebody would pass by with a trailer and go, hey, you mind if I take this? And I'd be like, man, get that out of here. Well, I mean, no longer than I got it out there, my next door neighbor came over and goes, you mind if I take this? I'm like, no, man, you're welcome to have it.
Get it out of my sight.
He installed it, and it was up and running in an hour.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and it was, you know, he cleaned it and Clorox and everything, but the thing ran like a, you know, purred like a kitten. You know? So, but yeah, you never know.
No, you never know who's giving what away. There's so much available to today.
But the handyman in you've got to have that a little bit of, you know, I'm going to see if I can make this work.
Yeah.
I want to see if I can
yeah.
do this. And it is a challenge. I, you know.
Oh, I'm bad about that. I mean, before I'll throw something away, I'll always just check and just see if there's something maybe I should be doing first to it.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's not a lot that I've thrown away, because I'm one of those going, I'm dumb enough that I'm probably missing something here. Yeah. It's probably a very simple solution that I'm not thinking of. Somebody's going to go, did you plug it in? Oh, wow, that's what I've got to do.
Well, yeah, I've done the same. I've worked on an electrical item for many long time, wondering why the darn thing wouldn't work. And I'd get to the end of the whole project after about 45 minutes looking at it, go,
did I plug it in or not?
Oh, yeah. Maybe if I plug it in.
Yeah, trust me, I've been there. Like, no, this isn't battery powered. That's the problem.
It makes you feel real good. It's like,
hey, if you can't laugh at yourself, you don't take time to laugh at anyone else. You know?
I treated it as a learning experience.
Yeah. Let's learn more, buddy.
Yeah, learn more.
There'll be mistakes to learn from.
Make brain work.
Yes.
Froggy. Oh, well. Andy Man Show here, Super Talk Mississippi. Lance, I don't have a screen. I'm just wondering, are phone lines going to be open today?
They are, yes, sir. I got you covered when we get a call, but we do have some text to check in with when we get back on this side of the break.
Okay, I didn't check them out. Yeah, you check, because I have no screens here. I don't see what's coming.
We're working on it, sir.
Yeah, I know you are. All right, take a short break. You're listening to the Rock and Roll Handyman Show at the Build Mississippi Studios. Right here, we'll be back with the rest of the segment right here at Super Talk Mississippi. Buddy Slowick right in here.
While most people are settling into their cubicles and sifting through their inboxes, others are busy building the foundation of the future. One brick, pipe, and electrical line at a time. The construction industry in Mississippi needs over 100,000 skilled tradespeople now. If you're looking for an in-demand, well-paying career, visit buildmississippi.com to discover rewarding careers in the trades. Buildmississippi.com. Your future is waiting. Let's build it.
Farmers and builders, listen up. Purple Wave Auction is shaking up equipment sales. We're the no-reserve online auction powerhouse where every bid could be a win. From combines to cranes, tractors to excavators, if it has wheels or tracks, we've got it at purplewave.com. Purple Wave is your ticket to upgrade your operation. Join our nationwide buying community today and see why no reserve means maximum opportunity.
Did you know?
Can we forget about the things I said when I was drunk? Didn't mean to call you that. I can't remember what was said or what you thought.
Yeah. Lance, Green Day?
Lit.
Lits. Wow, sounds like Green Day.
Yeah, they're very close, yeah.
Yeah, that's L-I-T-C?
L-I-T.
L-I-T.
My Own Worst Enemy. And pretty good jam.
Oh, where are they from? I've never heard of them.
They're one of those 90s-ish, if I remember, early 2000s. They got thrown in a lot of movies, probably heard the song in there. And I actually found a lot of good songs in movies. Like, what is that? And you got to go figure that one out.
Yeah, really?
Never used an app to do that either. I always make my noodle work when I go, all right, that sound. I've got to, what key is that in? And I go type it in, try to figure it out. I've never done to go to the app and go, what is that song?
I don't ever go to the app and do that either. All right, let's do some texts and some phone calls. What's happening over there?
Well, let's see.
What's happening on my end, folks, is I can't tell if we're having our text line is 601-879-4395.
Well, we do have let's see. We have a text from Rhett in Ridgeland. He said, I remember buying a Dremel attachment set for sharpening. I thought it was going to sharpen everything. Turns out the learning curve is tough, and nothing beats a good sharpening service.
That's correct.
You can work all day sharpening stuff.
Yeah.
For a few bucks, you let take somebody else do it.
Yeah, really. And they will do a real professional job on sharpening anything.
He said, William in Cortland, I sharpened a PVC pipe cutter blade the other day. He goes, I had never contemplated that needed to be sharpened.
Wow.
It does. I mean, at PVC, it'll have a little rough edge in there.
Yeah.
May crack.
Won't cut seam. Smooth. Won't cut as well. Oh, that's amazing.
Now, I've gone, anybody out there that is still using PVC, and I understand, but PEX, I'm going to tell you what.
It's a much better product.
Man, it is a lifesaver.
Much better product.
For about anything, especially outdoor, that is going to be exposed.
Yeah. PEX is just such a better product. It's such a better product. All right, been looking around at a lot of new houses, been going in a lot of new houses lately, and it doesn't matter. This is kind of a national trend I'm beginning to see happening. A lot of new houses are using 1x4 for their interior trim as opposed to using 2.25 or 3.25 casing around windows and doors and even a plain kind of trim for the baseboard. And everything turns out to be kind of like a 1x4 is flat without any profile. And I kind of like the look. It's a very clean look, and it's probably – it's certainly easy to install, and it's a much better look. So most new houses are being trimmed with a 1x4 and doing a super job. The mirrors, the casing around doors, the casings around windows. 1x4 is like really the best-looking interior casing that I've seen in the market.
But it's so clean.
Oh, there's so many choices, but that is, you're right, it's so clean.
Well, and compared to, say, molding, too, and, you know, ornate molding, yeah, and things, I've really enjoyed, as I've seen a lot of the more, I don't know what you call it, it's more modern, yeah, maybe, yeah, construction, where you're seeing less less ornate,
yeah,
things,
less
and much more clean and flat. The colors seem to be replicating that as well. You're seeing a lot more whites and blacks, much more simple, some taupes and grays.
Right.
But, yeah, it seems like we're going to a little more simplified construction.
Simple.
And I'm not sure if that's aesthetically the way people are demanding it be, or if that's a rapid response to a housing shortage.
Yeah,
who knows? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I like it, though. I really
I'm not
do.
Sure how it came about, but I think it's going to stay because people enjoy the look, mm-hmm, so very much.
And I do like sleek and clean lines and open spaces. And
well, the thing with profiles, do you know how many times I've spent with a profile that are on my kitchen cabinets? They have lip molding all around. There's pretty heavily profiled. Those are a booger bear to keep clean.
Yeah.
I mean,
any line around, yeah, any edge.
Any profile like that will right. collect dirt and dust. I've used toothbrushes and lemon. I've used everything.
The Dremel makes a great little felt.
Yeah, if you put felt.
You better buy about 30 of them, but yeah, because you'll wear it out quick. It does a great job. You just put your little cleaning solution that you're going to use in that seam, and then you can get it out. But, man, there's no easy way. Molding and things with the seam in it.
And it happens a lot on cabinetry, and particularly in kitchens where there's a lot of gook in the air, if you will, whether from cooking or from, you know, whatever it may be.
Yeah, well, the oil from smoke and cooking that evaporates. You'd be surprised at if you do cook a lot in your kitchen that you have a nice sheen of cooking grease that is actually on everything.
Yeah.
And then you go in there and you go, all right, let's clean and wipe stuff down. You see this kind of yellow film coming off of everything. You didn't realize, I've got vegetable oil all over everything.
Well, my kitchen's almost clean. I guess I'll start working on the backsplash now. The rest was pretty easy.
Yeah, no. That, yeah.
Then all of a sudden,
that's why industrial kitchens are sleek, because that grease trail.
Oh, no.
You go into any industrial kitchen, it's going to be stainless steel, sleek, backstops, everything. There's not many edges, because the reality is you're cooking in a higher volume, and you're getting a lot more of that grease in the air. So you go look at that grease trap in a kitchen. That's one thing that'll turn you from you turn your stomach quick. You'd be like, oh, my God, that's in the air?
Yeah, that's
it
in the
is.
Air.
Though
I'm eating the food that was made with that. Yes, indeed you are.
But yeah, it is one of those things I learned working in a kitchen, how much grease is actually there. So if you do cook a lot, make sure you're degreasing your surfaces, your floors. They'll also get that way, in outdoor cooking places where you got concrete, maybe open, and you don't want to go out there one day, little condensation on the ground and grease and break your neck, because it will happen.
It will,
degrease those areas. I've had to do that just around the big grill at the at my club, because you'll go there and you get it all over you, and you don't realize that that's stuff that'll help you fall. You'll fall with that.
Grease is tricky because the first time it gets on something, you can't hardly see it at
That's
all.
That's right.
You don't know that it's there. It's kind of like black ice, if you will. It'd be easy to slip on and easy to fall. So just be careful. Make sure you clean those things up as well as you should. And that'll make a big difference. Nowadays, people also are using a different type siding on the outside of the house than they were using years ago. Of course, brick has been around and is going to be around probably forever. But nowadays they're using a lot of non-decaying type siding, and a lot of fiber cement board and fiber cement trim is being used around. But in a lot of places, it just gets too heavy, that hardy plank or fiber cement board in a 12-foot piece, 12 foot wide, and it's 12 inches wide and 12 foot long. gets pretty heavy. It's heavier than a piece of trim smart siding, which is also a man-made non-decaying product that is 16 foot long and is lighter than that 12-foot piece of hardy plank or fiber cement board. And they're using a lot of that smart siding along. And still they're using vinyl. They have been for years. But it's just sort of a okay thing in the Mississippi market. I don't think we see as much vinyl as we might in other markets. And they're using vinyl big time in other places all the time. I mean, that's the side, that's a choice of siding for a lot of different areas. But around here, not so much. All right, coming up, we've got a music segment coming our way, but not before local news and Fox National News coming your direction very shortly. You'll be listening to that stuff. And then we're coming back with a music segment, which we're going to have some fun with, which we always tend to at any rate. You're listening to the Rock and Roll Handyman Show right here on Super Talk Mississippi at the Build Mississippi Studios. Be right back.
Now look at yourselves. I make the big plays and the big games. You don't.
Yeah, you would have made All-State if Coach put you in.
Keep telling that story or you can actually play the game. The Sportsbook at Golden Moon Casino puts you in the starting lineup. I'll still be making the plays. You'll be making the bets. And finally getting the sports glory you deserve. The Sportsbook at Golden Moon Casino. Play the game.
In a world full of noise.
Devastating. The latest news.
Finding information that matters to you can be overwhelming. That's why Super Talk is here.
Here we go.
To filter through the noise, to cut through the clutter, to deliver real information, and discuss how it affects you. You'll know what's important and why it matters when you listen to Super Talk Mississippi.
This is Home Answer.
Hello? Anybody home?
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Right.
What is it?
This true force has never been fully understood.
Say, what is this?
It boils down to two simple words.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
New England clam chowder.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, let's keep rocking and rolling.
Wonderful. Couldn't have said it better myself.
It's rock and roll, brother, and we're rocking tonight.
And good morning. Welcome back to the Rock and Roll Handyman Show right here at Super Talk Mississippi. My name is Buddy at the Build Mississippi Studios, and this is time for a music segment. And I know there are members on the staff of TeleSouth that just totally love Journey, and I think Journey's a great band. I always have. Journey is, I originally saw them in the 70s with Steve Perry leading and Neil Sean on guitar, who's, Neil still plays guitar. Ross Valerie was bass, Dean Castronova and Armel Panada has taken over the vocals, and he has since left Journey. But I saw Journey twice in warehouses in New Orleans, and it was absolutely fantastic because it was wasn't a sit-down venue. It was a stand-up, go-wherever-you-want-to type venue. So you could walk up right to the edge of the stage and got to witness Journey like I'm talking about up close and firsthand. And it was right during the period of time when I was playing six nights a week, and it happened to be on a night that I was off. I was playing in Meridian at the time and decided to go to New Orleans to see Journey, and it was worth the trip. And then I think maybe about a year later, I did the same thing. They were playing in a warehouse again in New Orleans, and they had really become big time by then. But I think Journey's always been a great, great band. They've been through a number of changes, but still, the mainstay is Ross and the piano player, and I've forgotten his name, but very, very good. Let's listen to Any Way You Want It, Journey, a good song.
The way you need it, yeah.
way you want it.
She loves to laugh, she loves to sing, she does everything. She loves to move, she loves to groove, she loves a lot of things. All night, oh, every night. So hold tight, ooh, baby, hold tight.
Journey. That's Neil Sean on guitar. I'm talking about a guitar player's guitar player. He was playing with Santana, I think, when he was like 14. So quite an amazing guitar player. And I'll say that in this day and age, listening to Journey today, I think Neil Sean is taking too much of center stage right now and making too much of a issue of how of Neil Sean, and the group is Journey, not Neil Sean and Journey. But I believe that's happening a little bit today. I think that's gotten a little out of hand. And that may be because there are so many problems with Sean and Steve Perry and going on all the time. And then who knows? Who knows why? But at any rate, he's a great guitar player, and I think Neil Sean is wonderful. All right. It's the month of Halloween, and so we're going to do a Halloween kind of song by Bobby Boris Pickett. It's called The Monster Mash, and it was a smash hit in 1962, and it rested for a while. And then it also charted right up past number 10, 1970, 1972, 1973 on the top 10. And then it rested, and then it charted again, but I don't think it made the top 10 in 2021, 22, 23. So it's charted every year. It's been around for an amazing, amazing time. Bobby Pickett, Bobby Boris Pickett, called the Monster Mash.
My eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east, to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble abodes to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five. They played the Monster Mash. It was a graveyard smash.
They played the Mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the Mash.
They played the Monster Mash. Out from his coffin, Rex's voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said, whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the Mash.
It's now the Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the Mash.
All right, we caught some of you dancing around your room going, oh, by the way, Lance, that picture you have up there with Bobby Boris resembles somebody here in the studio. I can't put my name to it.
I take off the electrode plugs when I get here.
Okay.
I'm not going to mention
any names. But that's Monster Mash, it was just so much fun. Lance, what are you going to be able to follow that up with?
Yeah, no, you can't. How do you follow that up? But I'm going to try.
Handle it, Lance.
Yeah, I'm going to try. Well, a guy that I always respected immensely, Dickie Betts.
Yeah.
No longer able to play with us, but,
such a great guitar player.
One of my favorites because, known for his collaboration early with Dwayne. And as he moved through the career and they realized how talented he actually was. Yeah. And Dwayne passed, but, initially gained renown for his epic instrumental in memory of Elizabeth Reed. You kind of got to see a little bit of what he was all about. And then from the band, and that was from the band's second album, Idlewood South, and then followed his, up with Blue Sky.
Yeah.
To me, just really exemplifies some of the greatness of the Allman Brothers Band.
Uh-huh.
And then after, Dwayne passed, you really kind of go in more of the direction of Dickie Betts than the collaboration.
Sure.
And the band gained quite a bit of success commercially after the passing of Dwayne, and as Dickie kind of took on the lead role. And so I always found that, that role he played initially as a, almost a duet of
right.
two guitars battling it out in harmony and then having to take over that lead and then becoming, again, to me, one of the most respected and commercially successful touring bands out there. I've seen them many times.
Yeah.
And I don't know if when I saw them the many times I did, if I had the appreciation that I probably should have had for the work Dickie Betts did, but I was going to do a little Blue Sky, and it is live University of Florida, 1982.
Dickie Betts.
Here we go.
Walk along the river, see your back. You just keep on following. You don't worry about where it's going. Don't slap Mr. Bluebird, I'm just walking down the road. Early morning sunshine, tell me all I need to know. You're my blue sky, you're my sunny day. We'll be right back.
I'm just amazed at how anybody not only can be that talented, but every note in that lead was clear. He didn't smudge any. He didn't maybe get some and maybe not. Just clear as a bell.
And that's the thing, and don't want to belabor that in any rate, but the way you have like 88 people on stage too.
Yeah.
And you get this.
Yeah.
In a live performance.
In a live performance.
In a yard at the University of Florida.
Sure.
In a makeshift stage with people hanging out of the trees.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what you get. I mean, that's the perfection you're dealing with. And how? I mean, most people can't get that in a studio.
No, that's right.
And he's nailing it, and the whole band is nailing it like that. Out in the middle of, you know, 80, 90 degrees, and they're wearing snap button shirts and long hair. I mean, it's just, to me, that's what gets me every time.
It's a credit to the talent of the musicians involved playing in that venue to do so very well and to understand that it needs to be like studio quality. And that's amazing. That's just amazing. All right, we're going to move on a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about the Black Crowes. The Black Crowes, great, great career. The core of the band is Chris and Richard, Rich Robinson, and they've
crazy
had,
Chris,
crazy Chris. Yeah, Chris is so crazy that in 2000 he married Kate Hudson. Talk about crazy!
She was like, "He's too crazy for me."
Yeah, she says, "I'm out of here."
But I love the music. Yeah, those guys are great. Robinson Boys.
Something I didn't know was that in 2007 they were doing an album. And they asked Luther Dickinson of the North Mississippi All-Stars to play in the studio with them to record that album called War Paint. And he did. He went to the studio. And he liked playing with them so much that he joined the band and stayed with them for a number of years, the Black Crowes. And they just are absolutely amazing. Well, one of the songs they did, which I think made a big mark in the world, Hard to Handle, the Black Crowes.
Kendall calls the mama, I'm sure all the hand and I just around. I don't think loud in the words, and I'm a man, a great experience. I know you got another man, but I can love you better than him. Take my hand, don't be afraid, I'm gonna prove every word I say. I'm advertising love for free, so you can place your ad to me. Once I come along and down by the dozen, I ain't nothing but this. Let me light your candle, calls her mama. I'm sure all the hand and I just around.
Black Crowes, they were happening, and amazing, amazing group. Well, for our outtake today, we're going to do something kind of different. A person named Kenny Wayne Shepherd, great, great guitar player. Kenny Wayne Shepherd Band is going to do a copy of, it's a Hendrix song, Voodoo Child, but he's a great, great guitar player from Shreveport, as a matter of fact. And he has had much success as a blues rock artist. And in 2008, Fender put out a Stratocaster in Kenny Wayne Shepherd's name, the Kenny Wayne Shepherd Stratocaster. But let's listen to Kenny Wayne Shepherd Band. Take us home.
I'm I'm Billy Kinder, host of Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Hear the show Saturdays at 1, right here on Super Talk Mississippi. Turkeys, whitetail, Grenada Lake crappie, or Gulfport redfish. We enjoy it all, especially when you're in camp with us on Super Talk Mississippi.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner, weekdays starting at 2 p.m. here on Super Talk Mississippi, and now on Amazon Alexa devices.
Don't stop planning for your future. Don't stop investing in your kids' education. Don't stop dreaming of that new home. And don't stop growing your business. Whatever you're passionate or dreaming about, don't stop. Because when you have a bank you can trust, you have the confidence to take on tomorrow. Speak with a Trustmark associate today for advice on achieving your goals. Trustmark. People you trust. Advice that works. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Greatness.
That's true. Handyman Show here. I love our listening audience very, very much.
One thing before we move on to Handyman, I had the unique pleasure last week to talk to Luther Dickinson.
Yeah.
He was one of our guests as they were making their way into Jackson to play at Dueling Hall.
Sure.
And he graced us with his presence and wisdom, and just what a unique guy. And
yeah.
I told him that you and I had gotten to go over to St. Andrews last year for the show, and how blown away we really were with the family atmosphere of bringing so many powerful players into that in such a small little beautiful little atmosphere for us to enjoy. But that my first experience with Luther was at Proud Larry's.
Yeah.
And this is what I was telling him the story. I said, this guy comes in with a ski cap on, a beanie, and he's got these goggles and he's wearing black, and it's like him and two other guys, I think the band. And I said, was it Gut Bucket? He goes, no, that was our jug band right after this. And he goes, I was into heavy metal out of the gate. And he goes, it was terrible music. And I'm like, but so, you know, this guy shows up and he jumps up on the stage, and you're like, who is this guy? And he just starts shredding, absolutely shredding a guitar. And I, you know, I'm like, what? A couple years later, you hear of this new band called North Mississippi All-Stars, and the guy's name's Luther Dickinson. And I'm like, well, that was that guy.
Yeah.
How in the heck did he go from that to North Mississippi All-Stars? The breadth of knowledge and mastery that
just
he possesses.
The music is so, so.
Oh, my God.
Every piece, anything.
Yeah, I love what they do, and I love the depth that he provides in that. You know, it's just he can play anything. He's such an unassuming, nice, just great guy. If you haven't gone to hear these guys, please do. I have no dog in the race but missing out.
You're right when you say that the North Mississippi All-Stars are just fantastic.
They are. The other renditions where they get together and just jam these songs that are Mississippi in the backbone.
It's like almost every night is different, and it's always great.
Oh, and I'm not getting paid to promote anything
here.
I'm going to shamelessly say one of my, if not greatest honor, was getting to visit with him the other night.
Yeah.
Bobby Rush is like that for me,
Luther.
And then when you have a dad like Jim Dickinson, you know, and you get to collaborate with him. Think of this. These are the three albums that he collaborated with his father. In 2002, Free Beer Tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's right. So you know the dad's a cool guy, obviously. 2006, Jungle Jim and the Voodoo Tiger. Yeah. I love that. I mean, come on. The Jungle Jim and the Voodoo Tiger. And then the 07, Killers from Space. Those are, that's the three. I mean, you know, like that guy, his dad, oh, man,
his,
I mean.
His dad was very, very famous as far as a producer and whatnot.
And who all that he was exposed to.
Exposed to so many different
things. And that kind of circles back. Again, exposing yourself, you know, to all this different stuff and learning to me is. It's so important.
That's such a part of Luther Dickinson's and Cody Dickinson's depth of where they get their depth.
Yeah, and
is
Cody,
from,
amazing, too.
Yeah, Cody is amazing.
But I just wanted to go there for a minute because it was an honor, and I don't want to go without saying how great this job is in that regard, too, that we get to meet amazing people.
Yeah.
And not just listeners, but the guests we have and all that. But just such talented people. And right here in our backyard.
Right here in our backyard. We do get to interview some of the best, and that's for sure. On this station, they really do interview some of the best people of Mississippi. That's all there is to it. And some of the best of Mississippi actually have shows on this program as well.
Yeah.
On this station.
All over the network.
All over the network. So, man, stick around. It'll be a good time. All right, Rock and Roll Handyman Show. All right, here at Super Talk Mississippi at the Building Mississippi Studios. Lance, any text or phone call? Because I have no screen. Anything we should be aware of? Okay, yeah, he's going to look in just a minute.
Well, we did have Monster Mash Band in United Kingdom.
Yeah.
Mike from Houston. And love the Rock and Roll Handyman Show. But I did not know that Monster Mash was banned in the United Kingdom. Like, why? Like, what were they competing against that was making the money?
Okay, all right. Now we're going to back up on that a little bit because I picked it and said, I wonder if I should play that. Would it offend anybody? And I got thinking about it and thinking about it and said, no, this is just a fun Halloween song. I'm going to play it, and I hope it doesn't offend anybody. And my thought was that there's so many references to black things, and if you will, or
like the dark arts or something. I got
kicking the crib and all that kind of, you know.
Right. I mean, and again, that's an interesting, you know, band style choice.
And then I said, nah, let it go.
Well, and it reminds me of the Squirrel Nut Zippers a bit, pre Squirrel Nut Zippers, where, you know, they took on the ghosts and this and the goblins, and I mean, really, the stories that Mathis and they tell through that band is it reminds me a bit of throwing back to that era where, you know, Bobby Pickett and the Monster Mash crew. It's the sounds and the, you have different, you know, you're using horns and all kinds of different things to get the effect.
You know, Lance, I figured out that you and I should probably do a music show somewhere.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, you know, I don't even know if you and I'd have to prepare. You could just come in and be like, hey, we're doing this today. Like, I'm in.
I don't prepare at all. Let's just go roll. Do it. All right. We're gonna try to actually get some handyman stuff done.
If you want to. If you want to,
go ahead. We just keep on talking about music. Cause
again, and I didn't mean to derail that segment, but I didn't want to go without saying how much of an honor it was to meet Luther on the phone.
Sure.
Such a gentleman, too.
Sure it would be. And I've seen him at dueling before. I didn't see him this time, but I have seen them before at dueling, and it's just, wow. That's a great venue, by the way.
Yes. Also, great acoustics.
And thanks, Arden, for providing that for us.
I wonder if Arden's off on his motorcycle somewhere with this kind of weather.
He's probably out fly fishing somewhere.
Fishing in South Dakota. He drove the bike up there.
Who knows?
Like, I got 3 days off. I'm going to bike up.
Come on, Arden.
Let us know where you're at, Arden. I'm curious the life of Arden Barnett.
It's a very unique existence, believe me. And he would tell you that in a heartbeat. And there's more in his betwixt his two ears than a lot of people. All right. The amount of square footage in a house doesn't necessarily make it the most comfortable house on the block. The layout is more important than the square footage. And good planning can make a house with less square footage because it has a good layout. And with a good layout, it can be more homey. It can feel more like your house in a smaller amount of square footage. And the more we size down, if you will, our size of our homes, the easier it's going to be to keep them, for one, heat them, and they're going to be more energy efficient if we take very good care of them. But the amount of square footage isn't nearly as important as the layout. I have in my house I love the layout in my house. It's just so. Every room is so useful, and yet I see no wasted space at all. And It's probably a 2,500 square foot house, but it seems like it could be a 3,000-4,000 square foot house because of the layout. Because the layout is fantastic. So I think layouts are very important when you're looking at homes, and make sure that any kind of layout that you use, or any kind of house that you have buy, has a good layout.
I got lucky one time, and this is shameless. One of those you get lucky, and you know you're seeing a deal.
Yeah.
And there was a house that I had seen in Oxford once, and the lady had moved to Kentucky and wanted to rent it.
Sure.
Wanted to leave all of her furniture in it and all that, and I just kind of moved back up there. And we'd been there a couple of years looking for a place to buy. And I said, you know, if you're ever interested in selling it, let me know. But I'm not really interested in renting the home, you know, with your furniture. And, you know, sure. It's just kind of a waste of money. And so about a year later, she called and said, hey, you know, I'm interested in selling the home. I need to stay in Kentucky and don't have much use. I said, great. You know, it needed work. But I went over there and looked around and not really knew that there was what you would consider a basement in the home. But it was only covered on one side of the four.
Yeah.
So by definition, it was not a basement.
Right.
So I went to the chancery and checked the records and looked at the square footage, as you were mentioning, square footage. And I said, well, you know, that it's not accounting for any of that space below,
right,
which was about 1,000 square feet. And I think it was getting like $20 a square foot
sure.
on that. So I talked to the zoning folks and everything. I said, well, if it's only covered on dirt by one side and the other three are open, could that be redefined as, you know, a normal non-basement square footage? They're like, yeah. I said, well, why would they not have done that? They're like, well, to keep taxes lower. So the original homeowner had never categorized that space as living space,
sure.
per se, so because the taxes would have been higher on the assessed value, and therefore they kind of got away with it for 20-something years without ever paying the tax. So when I went, so the lady that had owned the home, she was not very skilled in these things. So she bought the house and said, you know, I might do something with this space, and eventually didn't really do much with the home. It needed a lot. So she sold it to me. I immediately went to the chancery and had that 1,000, I think it was 1,100 square feet, accounted for. My property value went way up. And it was one of those dumb luck things, but I knew it. It was an arbitrage situation where you knew, you know, if you knew the definition of a basement and
right.
you knew that square footage was not included in the home on the. So you got to pay attention to some of those details because the devil can be in the details. I was always told you make money when you buy a home.
Right.
You know, the deal you get up front is where you're going to make the money.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
And that's the way it works. I mean, you just got to be very focused. But look around for those types of things. You know, that's kind
true.
Of what I'm challenging you to do. Don't take the book at face value sometimes or book for the cover. You know, do a little digging. Find out if there's something that gives you more than what you think you're getting because those deals exist. You hear about people all the time going, man, I found this. But you've got to kind of rake through it.
You've got to rake through it. That's right. But I think it's important to say that even if you end up paying more than market value for a house than what it's valued at today, that it's going to appreciate anyway. But if you do find a house like you found that could be quite a bargain, that would mean already you've got a great appreciation in the house.
Yeah, and again, I didn't really get a great deal on the home, but I knew that there was 1,000 square feet in there that could be recharacterized as
right.
real living space rather than basement, and that really put me in the black quickly. And it ended up being one of the better investment transactions I had ever made. But it was a thing of patience. And sometimes, you know, you just got to sit back, be patient, and allow things to come to you.
You know I got the next question. You know I got another question.
What's that?
Did you ever finish the basement?
I did. Oh, yeah. That was the first thing I did.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly the first thing I did was go in and finished it out and had two bedrooms down there, a big kind of man cave and washroom.
Well, actually, that's a lot of square footage.
Yeah, so it was. It was 1,100 square feet addition to the home.
Two bedrooms and a man cave?
Yeah, and then the
bathroom?
Garage kind of came in there. It had a bathroom, and the washroom was down there for your laundry and everything. So, it really changed the way the house flowed.
Wow.
And as you said, the use of square footage is really, you know, how you get the most out of it.
Right.
And that was my goal out of that was, what do I really want here?
Yeah.
And it wasn't, hey, resale. It was more like, hey, this would be really cool to have finished the way I wanted. And I went in and I did a lot of cedar on the inside of that and real cabin-y feel because it was down and looked out over woods. But it made a huge difference. And, you know, and when I was ready to sell the home, the work was done well. You know, I took my time, wasn't one of those.
I'm sure that finished basement added a lot to the
value.
It did.
And then instead of going with like hardwood and those things, I went with more of the Stainmaster stick it together. Looks like wood because it was a basement type of floor. I didn't know if it was going to get moist, but I'll tell you what, that stuff was absolutely the easiest stuff to work with.
Yeah.
Laid down, never moved, never had a problem with it, and it looked great. So, you know, there are materials out there that. You know, that absolutely
really
mimic what you want and are the best material for that area. It may not be where you want to go with something higher end or real wood when you got an option available that saves you a lot of money, looks exactly, and it works perfect for that spot.
Sure. The house I grew up in Massachusetts, right on the water, also had a full basement, but it was never, even to this day that I know of, has been finished. It's always been a rough place. And, excuse me, kind of a... I won't say spooky place, but it was like that. You didn't want to go down there unless you had to, and of course you had to regularly. I had to regularly, but it wasn't finished. And I've seen finished basements, and mostly in newer homes. I say newer homes built in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and like that. This home was built in 1870 something. So, and the basement had never been touched. Great place, though. Was really, really did enjoy it. All right. Rock and Roll Handyman Show right here at Super Talk Mississippi. My name is Buddy Slowick, and we're going to take a short break at the Build Mississippi Studios, and we'll be back with the, it's the home run segment in just a minute. Don't you go away. We'll be right back.
Extra Table is hosting its fourth annual Bourbon Festival on October 17th at the Reed House at Live Oaks in Jackson with a silent auction, bourbon-inspired menu, live painting by Adam Trest, and cigars from Spring Street Cigars. Try the best bourbons thanks to Jamie Ferris and Lincoln Road Package Store, plus a VIP bourbon tasting from Rabbit Hole Distillery. For tickets, go to runsignup.com/bourbonfest. Benefiting Extra Table, helping end hunger in our state.
Award-winning singer-songwriter Scotty McCreery, Fall of Summer Tour. Saturday, November 16th, 8 p.m., Pearl River Resort Silver Star Convention Center. One of country's hottest stars, Scotty McCreery. On sale now at pearlriverresort.com. New album, Rise and Fall, available now. Scotty McCreery Live.
Texting enrolls you in a...
Handyman Show at Super Talk Mississippi. As Buddy, we'd like to hear from you. You can text us or call us. You can call us at 888-808-8637 for this last segment. Text us at 601-879-4395. I learned the other day that texted, that's with an ED on the end, is a okay usable word.
It's a verb now.
Yeah. I thought text was all you needed to put.
Back when I was a kid, text was like, it was like a paragraph.
Yeah.
It's just a word for a paragraph. That's text.
Right.
And now it means that's a verb.
Things change, huh?
And you can do a present, past participle, and all of those different things you learned back in third grade English with it now.
We're good at teaching third grade English. We can do it around here.
I'm an expert at third grade English.
Well, I don't know. Did you get an A?
I still have the big, the book that you wrote everything in. Your little notebook has the big wide strips with the dash in the middle for the line.
That's correct.
That's the one I work with still.
Yeah. And did you learn cursive in school?
Oh, that's all I write in. I can't print.
See,
I cannot print.
I've been printing for decades. I have trouble writing cursive now and being able to make it legible.
Oh, I can't. I mean, my print is terrible.
Yeah, cursive.
It looks like Arabic.
Yeah, my print gets that way.
Yeah, my cursive looks beautiful. My mamaw would always say, "Bud, you sure got a pretty cursive."
Yeah.
Thank you, Mamaw. I appreciate that. Yeah, I took pride in my cursive.
My mother always had beautiful cursive.
My print is terrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Anyway, everything. All my notes are all in print, by the way. In print, if you're interested.
I look angry, when I look at my print. It's like I'm writing angry or something. Yeah, it's like when my cursive is very smooth and laid back like my normal personality.
Right. Well, I don't want to do music again, but my granddaughters all play horns, trumpet and French horn. And my one granddaughter came to me the other day and said, "My mouthpiece is stuck inside my trumpet, and I can't get it out." So my daughter had my daughter, who's her mother, ordered a mouthpiece remover, which is a tool you can buy to remove a mouthpiece from a horn, and it's apply pressures and actually pulls it out. Well, that didn't work either. So after I did a whole bunch of research, I found that what you need to do is you heat the hole where the input for the mouthpiece goes, heat it with a hairdryer as very hot. And when you get it hot, you pour some penetrating oil down there, and the heat actually sucks it down to where the tubes stick together. And then you apply the remover, which actually puts pressure pulling the mouthpiece out, and that still didn't come out, but it said if you let it sit like that overnight and don't touch it, it will work. Well, that's what I did. I let it sit all night, tight, a lot of pressure on the mouthpiece, no bending of anything. I'd already heated and drained the oil. I got up in the morning and the mouthpiece all by itself popped out. That's just my musical story for taking care of instruments today, because I've never really messed with a horn a lot.
So what you're saying is, let's see if I can get it to play right.
I'm going to need some pliers and a set of 30-weight ball bearings.
What?
No, don't use pliers.
It's so simple. Maybe you need a refresher course.
Don't use
all ball bearings nowadays.
Don't use pliers or sledgehammer or ball bearings.
That's not what you were saying. That was not the instructions you just gave.
And while we're talking about that, all right, let's do it funny. We were playing regularly a long time. We were playing, I don't know where we were, so I don't know what time it was, that we were playing six nights a week. But we were doing a song by Chicago called Color My World. And our bass player had it was like a trombone, bigger than a trumpet. I forget what they call it, a clarinet maybe? No, not a clarinet, a cornet.
Cornet, I was like, well, I know that.
I would jump on and play bass, and he would play the cornet, and he'd play the lead part on Color My World, which was actually sounded really, really good. Well, we were kind of funsters and on stage, but we thought we'd always do something to mess somebody up. And while he wasn't looking one time, we stuffed the whole bunch of saltwater taffy down his horn. And he got up to play the part and went, and we were trying to keep a straight face while we were playing, but we couldn't. That was just one of the many things. But a new house.
You were hazing, is what you were doing,
all the time. And Lowry is such a great, great musician. He plays even today in symphonies, and is really fantastic. Fantastic. But at any rate, being a good helper on a construction crew or on a remodeling crew is very important. And a lot of people think of it as just, hey, this is just a job. Well, this is a chance for you to learn something and a chance for you to learn a trade of what the master on the or the manager of that job may be doing, and to provide them with the proper equipment when they need it. And you get to the point where you are a helper, that while you're not cleaning up and doing something and keeping busy all the time, you just sort of anticipate what the leader of the crew is actually needing at that point in time, so that you can have it right there ready when he's asking for it or when she's asking for it. That's very important, the anticipation, and it helps you become more aware of the progress of the project and what is going to be needed next in the project. And I've been on many of jobs and seen many of crews working and seen some helpers that I went, this person is really doing it like they should be doing it. And I'm just very impressed. Very young, very, very go-getter type. And that's kind of what it takes to become a journeyman and a master in that career, is getting involved and understanding completely not only the needs of the user who's doing the project, but also all of the material that's needed during that project. Needs are very, very important. Projects are very important. And helpers can really make a difference as to how a job goes and how quickly it goes. The helper keeps things organized, knows where everything is, where all the tools are, and can make a change out for a contractor in just a heartbeat, plus keeps things absolutely clean on a job site. And that doesn't matter whether it's a small construction project or a major construction project. Keeping a clean work site is it's important. It's very important. And then when you leave during the day, you've got to make it extra clean. You really do. That's what's called good customer service. And that's probably the most important thing that any business can give, is good customer service, so that when you're finished, the customer will look at your company and say, yeah, I would have them back in my house in a heartbeat. And not only that, I will recommend them to all my friends who need a particular project done that they do. And that's what a good helper can help achieve, that kind of success for a company. So don't be afraid to take that lower paying job that maybe just be a helper's salary to start with. But there's a learning curve involved. You learn to really how to take care of business. All right, Rock and Roll Handyman Show. We do it each Saturday from 10 to 12 right here on Super Talk Mississippi. And my name is Buddy Slowick, and we have a great time at the Build Mississippi Studios. I pray that you enjoy us each and every Saturday. Tell your friends, the Handyman's on Super Talk Mississippi at 10 to 12 on Saturdays. And for some reason or other, they have a good time. I can't explain it. As Halloween gets closer, we'll do a little bit more ooh kind of music. So hey, come back and see us next week. Take care. Buddy Slowick. Bye-bye.
We're on our way to Boston to get some clam chowder. Bye-bye.
No other news team covers the Magnolia State like Super Talk Mississippi News. On air with reports every hour and breaking news as it happens. Your news all the time, on air and online at supertalk.fm.
For over 100 years, Mississippi Land Bank has been one of the premier lenders for land in the northern 32 counties of Mississippi. For more info, visit mslandbank.com.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from three licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
Hi, I'm Josh Quick, the owner of Mid-South Crawl Space Solutions, formerly known as Clean Space of Central Mississippi. Our name may have changed, but our expertise remains. An unhealthy crawl space can invite mold, bugs, and buckling floors. This affects not only your crawl space, but compromises the health of your entire home. Our Clean Space system will transform your crawl space into a dry, healthy, clean environment that will save you energy and money. No more moisture, no more mold, no more smells. Still doing free estimates at mscrawlspace.com.
Do you suffer from allergies, sinus or respiratory problems, or just want to improve the quality of air you breathe in your home or business? Pure Air Consultants can help. As your indoor environmental specialist, we clean air ducts, install UV lights, and service all makes and models of heating and cooling systems. We offer the most dependable Energy Star qualified systems in the industry. Call Pure Air Consultants today, 601-939-7420.
A proud provider of Rheem Home AC Systems. Are you feeling it? Rheem, the new degree of comfort.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.